Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Live to Please God, as we pick up in Romans chapter 15, verse 1. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Shall we turn to the 15th chapter of Paul's epistle to the Romans. In the 14th chapter, Paul was dealing with the subject of walking in love within the body of Christ, recognizing that we have differences of feelings, convictions, or opinions on the different issues involving the Christian walk. Paul said, those that are strong in the faith can eat meat. Those who are weak in the faith have convictions against eating meat, so they eat vegetables. But we need to recognize that people have different convictions, that not everybody is going to see the thing the right way like I see it. And so you've got to respect the right of people to be wrong and not create a big dissension over the differences is basically what Paul is pleading for. That if we disagree, agreeably. That we not split over issues and get in a big controversy over these little issues. It is tragic how the church has been split and divided over the most ridiculous things. So the encouragement in chapter 14 by Paul is to accept those weaker brothers in the faith. Don't get into arguments with them. And also, you should not flaunt before them your liberty because you might stumble them when they see the liberty that you have. So walk in love. And if your eating meat stumbles the weaker brother, then for the sake of the Lord, don't eat meat in front of him. You have the liberty to eat the meat, then have it to yourself. Do it in your own home, but do not flaunt your liberties in such a way that you could offend a weaker brother and thus destroy one for whom Christ died just because you're going to insist on exercising your liberty. Now he is continuing in that very vein of thought as he begins the 15th chapter. And here he puts the final few touches on this subject, but chapter 15 is a continuation of this very subject of our treatment towards the differences within the body and especially towards weaker brothers. We then that are strong in the faith, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I shouldn't just be thinking about my own pleasure. I'm going to eat this prime rib. I don't care what he thinks. Well, if it's going to stumble him and offend him, if I am strong in the faith, then eating prime rib doesn't bother me spiritually, then I need to bear the infirmities of the weak, I need to put up with him and not live for my own pleasure. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. And so rather than living to please myself, should live to please others. As a Christian, many times we are called upon to live by the standards that other men have set. Not that we share those convictions, not that we would feel guilty if we did them, but walking in love, not living to please myself, but living actually to please the others, walking more rigid than I would if I were just, you know, following my own convictions. And Paul gives to us then the example of Jesus Christ, who did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. So Christ, our example, he came not to please himself. But when he came, he said, I do always those things that please the Father. For I came not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. So a good rule is live to please God, not live to please yourself. Living to please yourself can create a stumbling block for weaker brothers. So in love, because it would please God, be gracious. Don't exercise your liberty in such a way as to cause offense. Now he goes on to another subject. For whatsoever things were written before time or aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. And so the twofold purpose of the word of God, the scriptures that were given to us, a twofold purpose listed here. First of all, for our learning. The Bible was given to us to reveal God, for our learning about God, our understanding of God, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, God and hope are inextricably connected together. There is no real hope apart from God. But it's amazing how that when you have God, hope is extended, hope is expanded. The psalmist said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. He is our hope. And all the way through, the hope of the believer is connected with God. So that God has given us the scriptures to understand his nature, his character, his faithfulness, so that we in the time of trouble will not despair. We will not give up, but we will continue to hope in that work of God and in that work of God's victory within our lives. That position of despair and hopelessness is not one that the Christian should find himself in. Like the psalmist found himself cast down, but he talked to himself about it. He said, why are you cast down? Why are you depressed, O my soul? Why are you upset? Why are you disquieted within me? And the reason why was because he forgot for a while that God was on the throne. And when we forget that God is on the throne and ruling over our lives, it's possible that we can get discouraged and upset over the situations. It's interesting how quickly we can forget that God reigns. How quickly we forget that it's His church. And suddenly we get all worried and we get all concerned and we begin to wonder, well, what are we going to do? Over and over, the Lord reminds me that it's His church. And because it's His church, I have no business worrying about it. He can take care of it. He's created it, and He is able to maintain it. And I don't have to lie awake at night wondering, oh, what are we going to do now? Or what are we going to do next, you know? That God is in control. Now, I need to bring that to my own life. I need to realize that God is in control, that God is going to work. Not to get upset, not to get discouraged, not to be in turmoil. For the Lord reigns, and He shall bring to pass His work if I just patiently wait for Him. But that's the problem, isn't it? That thing called patience. We are exhorted in reading of the Old Testament saints to realize that they, through faith and patience, inherited the promises of God. And again, we were told that we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might obtain the promise. There is that time after I have done all that I can do in following the will of God. There is that time where I have to then, by faith, patiently now wait for God to do His work. Now, there is where I am tempted to meddle and mess things up because I don't wait for God. Somehow, He always seems to be slow, according to my calculations. Of course, when it all works out, I realize He was right on time. I was fast. But that's because I'm impatient. I want God to do His work in their life right now. God, I don't want to wait for a week. I don't want to wait for a month. Or God, help me, I don't want, like Abraham, to wait for 13 years. Can't take that, Lord. And so we have need of patience. And through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, the God of patience, and isn't He patient? God is so patient. And another word for it is long-suffering. God is so long-suffering. He is so patient to bring to pass His purposes. But that's because God is outside of our time dimension. God lives in the eternal. I live in seconds. And of course, now in milliseconds, you know, the scientists have divided them down. Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years. God lives in aeons. Eternity. And 1,000 years is as a day to the Lord. A day is as 1,000 years. I say, Lord, it's been so long. When is Jesus coming back? It's only been a couple days. What's your hurry, you know? So because God is outside of the time dimension, and we move in this dimension of time, it seems that God is so patient in bringing to pass His kingdom, His work upon the earth. And so we continue our prayer. Oh God, give us patience right now. the God of patience and consolation, the God of comfort, he's called. Grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. How are we to be? We're to be patient with one another. As God is the God of patience and consolation, so we are to be to each other. We are to be comforting to one another, and we are to be patient with one another. Now, there's an interesting thing. I appreciate God's patience with me. I'm thankful for that. However, I'm not so patient with him. I appreciate other people's patience with me, but I'm not always so patient with them. Now, as you would that men should do unto you, that is the way you should do to them likewise. Comfort. Be patient according to Christ Jesus. That ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now the church, as we minister to each other in the love of Jesus Christ and through the Word of God, we do glorify God through this life of love, consolation, patience with one another. And we are to receive then one another. How? As Christ received us. Now, how did Christ receive you? Were you absolutely the ideal, perfect person? Did he say, go out and clean up your act and then I'll accept you? No, he received us with all of our imperfections. Isn't it amazing how horrible our sins look when someone else is committing them? How blind we are to our own faults. How astute we are in being able to pick out the flaws of others. But as Jesus said, hey, first take the 4x6 out of your own eye, and then you can see more clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. But why is it that I have such a hard time seeing the 4x6 in my own eye? And yet I can see so clearly that splinter in your eye. Well, it's all a matter of love. Love covers a multitude of sins, and I just love myself so much, I don't pay any attention, you see. But I'm to love you as I love myself, and if I love you as I love myself, then I won't be seeing and picking at all the little flaws in you. But I will then receive you even as Christ has received me. It was interesting. During the counterculture revolution, the hippie period, there were many churches that were willing to receive the hippies and allow them to fellowship with them if they would go out and get a haircut and a 3-piece suit, a white shirt and a tie. You'll be welcome. Come on in, you know. Now you look like us. And we will receive you. But it was amazing how many churches were unwilling to receive them with their long hair and dirty jeans and the whole hippie attire. Conform to my standards. Live like I want people to live around me, and I will accept you as my friend and my associate. You know, you're welcome. But that's not how we're to receive each other. We're to receive each other with our differences. And that love that we have in Christ should be greater than any difference that we possess. It should be the unifying power within the body of Christ. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. In other words, he came to the Jews because God had made the promise to the fathers that he would send the Savior unto them, the seed of David, the seed of Abraham. And so he came to minister unto those whom God had made the promise, and that the Gentiles might glorify God. For this cause, or as it is written, and I love Paul, he makes a statement and then he begins to back it up with scripture. And when you can back up your statements with scripture, three or four references, for in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. It shows me, one, Paul's vast working knowledge of the Old Testament. I mean, he's grabbing scriptures out of several different books, putting them all together on the same subject. This fellow's a walking topical index. Give him a subject and he'll quote you all the scriptures from the Old Testament that deal with that particular subject. So he's introducing now the fact that Christ came directly to the Jews, and yet the prophecies expanded beyond the Jews to the ministry to the Gentiles. He came to confirm the promises to the fathers, which he did.
Discover the story that's still touching lives, A Memoir of Grace by Pastor Chuck Smith, a powerful personal journey through a life shaped by God's hand. In his inspiring biography, Pastor Chuck shares his story, the triumphs, the trials, and the undeniable thread of God's grace through it all. Our prayer is that as you read this book, you will begin to see God's grace at work in your own life, in your past, your present, and even what's still to come. Because with God, everything's a preparation for something else. Don't miss A Memoir of Grace, available from The Word for Today by calling 1-800-272-9673 or by visiting thewordfortoday.org, where you will also find many other resources.
And now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord bless you and keep you through this week. May the grace of God abound towards thee in all things, that you might experience the full richness of his love and of his grace towards you in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in his name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 15. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on
This program. program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.